Hello, and welcome back to Five Things. I'm your host, Angie B, and as always, I'm thrilled that you are joining me this week. I hope you're all well. I hope you're still hanging in there. I know that there is still a lot of uncertainty around when things are opening. I know things are opening across the country in many different cities, so I just hope that all of you are staying safe. I had to reschedule some guests and just move a couple of things around. And so I thought I would try something a little bit different this week. I do not have a guest. Instead, it's just me talking, but I'm joining that with some incredible sound that I've been able to find that are in line with the five things I wanted to share with you today. Throughout this lockdown, a lot of things have been catching my attention, but a few things in particular have really inspired this week's podcast. The sound that I will be sharing along with these different topics are public domain, which means they are available for use without copyright infringement, which is really exciting to me because I have discovered so many websites that provide public domain resources. So the first thing that I want to share with you is in relation to a story that's been circulating for the last couple of weeks, and that is the UFO stories. The Pentagon recently released this footage of unidentified flying objects, and if you can imagine, the reaction has been out of this world and has really captured our imagination, and all of this talk about UFOs has really got me thinking so much more about the mysteries of the universe and how much we just don't know, how far we are from really truly understanding all of the mysteries of the universe, and even if there's extra life out there. And with NASA getting ready to do their next big launch on May 27th, I started looking around from sound of NASA, and it turns out that NASA has a lot of public domain sound. And the two pieces that I found that I want to share, I pulled from the Internet Archive, which is archive.org. It's incredible how many public domain files of hundreds, if not thousands, of topics are available on archive.org. And so I pulled one sound clip of Apollo 11, which of course is a space flight that first landed humans on the moon. The audio is just one of many hours of crew members having conversation. And there's also just probably hundreds of hours of noise just that's coming from their craft, spacecraft. And let me share that first one with you now.
This is Apollo Saturn Launch Control, T-minus 2 hours, 40 minutes, 40 seconds, and counting. At this time, the prime crew for Apollo 11 has boarded the high-speed elevator from inside the A level in the mobile launcher, which is the second level inside the launcher. This is a high-speed elevator, 600 feet per minute, which will carry them to the 320-foot level, the spacecraft level. Shortly, we'll expect astronauts Neil Armstrong and Michael Collins to come across Swing Arm 9, the Apollo access arm, and proceed to the White Room and stand by to board the spacecraft. The third member of the crew, astronaut Edwin Aldrin, who will be the last one to board the spacecraft, will stand by in the elevator, seated in a chair, while his two comrades first board the spacecraft. Once Armstrong, who sits in the left-hand seat, and Collins, who will sit in the right-hand seat during liftoff, are aboard, then Aldrin will be called, and he will take his seat, the middle seat in the spacecraft. The spacecraft commander, Neil Armstrong, and the command module pilot, Michael Collins, now proceeding across the swing arm into the small white room that attaches at the spacecraft level. In the meantime, about 100 feet below, we have a technician, team of technicians working on a leaking valve, which is a part of the ground support equipment, a part of the system that's used to replenish the fuel supply for the third stage of the Saturn V rocket. He is proceeding to tighten a series of bolts around this valve in the hope that this will correct the leak. Once the technicians do depart, the hydrogen will again be flowed through the system to assure that the leak has been corrected. The spacecraft commander, Neil Armstrong, and CMP, the command module pilot, Mike Collins, now standing by in the White Room. T-minus 2 hours, 38 minutes, 45 seconds and counting. This is launch control.
And the second clip is from Apollo 13. And again, this also came from the Internet Archive, archive.org. There are hundreds of hours of digitized, cataloged, and archived sounds from Houston Audio Control Room. The ones that I pulled were more around some static bursts that occurred. And when one of the crew members reaches out to Houston Control to share that there's a problem, it's a little bit difficult to hear, but it's fascinating that this is the actual recording from that spacecraft. And the fact that it's available publicly is such a treat.
This is Apollo Saturn launch control. We're T-minus 1 hour, 29 minutes, 57 seconds and counting. Finishing up at this time are the checks of the emergency detection system. Skip Chauvin, the test supervisor, now also making some, the spacecraft test supervisor, making some checks with the various members of the team launch crew inside the spacecraft. The boost protective cover has now come closed. This is the cover which will protect the spacecraft hatch both from the jettisoning of the launch escape system and also as it develops some friction as it goes up through the heavy Earth's atmosphere. The crew now, as they prepare the boost protective cover, will also be going around the White Room, doing what's called breaking up the White Room, or generally preparing it for retraction. Once the closeout crew departs the White Room area, that White Room will be retracted to a standby position. It will remain in that standby position down through the countdown to the T-minus 5-minute mark, at which time it will come back to the fully retract position. Now T-minus 1 hour, 28 minutes, 52 seconds and counting. This is Kennedy Launch Control.
I really enjoyed learning so much more of the details and the deeper backgrounds of these two missions. And I hope that it will inspire you to listen to the, I think it's probably hundreds of hours of audio. There are some true gems in there. A lot of it is also just weird sounds from the spacecraft. But super interesting nonetheless, and such a wonderful part of our history. The next thing I wanted to share is more along the lines of literature and a poem in specific. I've been catching up on reading some amazing books and other poetry during this lockdown, and I found this really short but powerful poem by Gwendolyn Brooks. Gwendolyn Brooks was the first Black author to be awarded the Pulitzer Prize. She was also the first Black woman to be a poetry consultant to the Library of Congress. Ms. Brooks pulled from her life and the injustices happening around her during the civil rights era. I do have this poem linked. Unfortunately, I couldn't find audio that was public domain of her reading this poem, but I thought I would give it a try. And feel free to listen to other people read this poem, because I think there's power in how the poem is read as well. There's meaning behind the tone in which the poem is read. And I listened to it a couple of times and hope that I did it a little bit of justice, but still highly recommend you go and listen to it. We Real Cool by Gwendolyn Brooks. The Pool Players, Seven at the Golden Shovel. We Real Cool, we left school, we lurk late, we strike straight, we sing sin, we fin gin, we jazz June, we die soon. It is such a loaded poem, and I did provide a link that provides a little bit of analysis of this poem. So that site is also linked on the website. The next thing I want to share is about opera. A lot of cultural institutions have been sharing downloadable files, videos, streaming of some of their performances. And I was Googling to see if I can find one interesting about opera. I came across an article titled 5 Minutes That Will Make You Love Opera in the New York Times. The New York Times asked various artists and performers like Patti Smith, John Turturro, Renee Fleming, and others to pick the music that moves them. I do have that article linked, and I couldn't find a public domain version of the song that moved me the most among the ones featured in this article. And that selection is the one that Patti Smith chose. She chose Puccini's Tosca, which in her version is performed by Luciano Pavarotti as the main tenor. I found a public domain version of that music, and I am going to share just a bit of it here, but have linked to the full version on the website. I would love for you to read the article, listen to the options that these various artists and performers selected, and let me know what you think. Did that article convert you to love opera? I would love to know in the comments for this post. Here is a bit of the version that I found. Thank you. And the final poem that I wanted to share is called Vacation by Rita Dove. And as things slowly start to open and we can start to think about what travel might look like in the future, I just thought this poem was so fitting to that, but also in how we relate to our everyday surroundings. Rita Dove is a U.S. poet laureate from 1993 to 1995, and as a chancellor of the Academy of American Poets from 2005 to 2011. I could not find a public domain audio for this one, but you can listen to her read this poem at the Library of Congress website. So I did provide a link for that. So I thought I would just go ahead and read this poem for you. Vacation by Rita Dove. I love the hour before takeoff, that stretch of no time, no home, but the gray vinyl seats linked like unfolding paper dolls. Soon we shall be summoned to the gate. Soon enough, there'll be the clumsy procedure of row numbers and perforated stubs. But for now, I can look at these ragtag nuclear families with their cooing and bickering, or the heeled bachelorette trying to ignore a baby's wail and the baby's exhausted mother waiting to be called up early, while the athlete, one monstrous hand asleep on his duffel bag, listens, perched like a seal trained for the plunge. Even the lone executive who has wandered this far into summer with his lasered itinerary, briefcase knocking his knees, even he has worked for the pleasure of bearing no more than a scrap of himself into this hall. He'll dine out. She'll sleep late. They'll let the sun burn them happy all morning. A little hope, a little whimsy before the loudspeaker blurts and we leap up to become flight 828, now boarding at gate 17. So those are the five things I wanted to share with you today. I hope you take the time to look through all of these wonderful public domain sites and explore some of the literature and poetry that's available on those sites, which are, they're just absolutely endless. There are so many things to find and to discover on these sites. I really appreciate you tuning in this week, and I hope that you continue to be safe during these times. Thank you for tuning in, and please join me next week. Until then, take care.